Are you feeling burnt out, overwhelmed, like you're just an Uber driver to your kids' endless appointments? Do you wonder, is this all there is? Stop driving around and try something different. Book in with Body and Mind Online for expert speech therapy, occupational therapy, psychologist and counsellors via telehealth. I founded Body and Mind Online 5 years ago, and it has since been one of the most inclusive therapy centres in the country. This podcast is my passion project. But I've realized that by not openly recommending Body and Mind Online, I'm leaving many of you to navigate the daunting task of finding the right providers on your own. Stop the struggle and get the support that you and your family deserve. Visit adhdmums.com.au and visit the therapy page to take the first step forward towards a balanced life with Body and Mind Online. Welcome to the ADHD Mums Podcast, a safe place for everyday Australian mums to discuss their struggles with ADHD, motherhood and life. What is PMDD? We know what PMS is clearly. Everyone knows what PMS is, but PMDD is premenstrual dysphoric disorder, PMDD. It is a hormonal health condition that causes severe mood and fluctuating issues, and it affects more people with ADHD or who are also autistic than the neurotypical population. And if you are unsure whether you suffer from this, I'm going to go through the symptoms and how it presents. So it is a hormonal health condition which causes clinically significant and impairing depression, anxiety, mood swings, and uncomfortable physical symptoms in the lead up to your period. If you are wondering whether you have PMDD, you need to have at least one of the five following symptoms being met, including one from each category. And the symptoms have to actually cause distress or interfere with your daily living. And it has to have been happening in the last year. So you can't say you have PMDD if 5 years ago you used to feel like that, but you're okay now. So you have to have at least five of these: unstable and easily influenced mood, irritability, depressive or hopeless mood, anxiety or tension. That is category A. You need to have one of those symptoms to have proper PMDD. And category B is decreased interest in usual activities, difficulty concentrating, fatigue, appetite changes, sleep difficulties, either insomnia or hypersomnia, feelings of overwhelm. And physical symptoms are breast tenderness, joint or muscle pain, sensation of being bloated, weight gain. So whilst it sounds a little bit like PMS, PMDD is less common and much more severe. 46% of ADHD women experience PMDD, but we need to have more research clearly. In addition, PMDD needs to interfere with daily function and often requires medication to really resolve. People with PMDD are at risk of suicide attempts, and diagnosis and treatment are vital. Some people do not quite meet the criteria for PMDD, but with severe PMS, they actually have a similar treatment. There is no real agreed cause of PMDD, and we don't really know why it affects more populations than others. There are a few theories which I'll go through, but honestly, it just needs more research. A lot of people will say that PMDD is highly genetic and there is a genetic link. Other people say that it's to do with hormone sensitivity. As people with ADHD have reduced dopamine levels across the brain, hormone fluctuations are more likely to reduce the dopamine to critically low levels, which mean that there's more feelings of exhaustion, moodiness, lack of motivation, which occurs. Also, there is a lot of speculation that this time of the month and PMDD can really affect sensory sensitivity. So if you have people that are extremely sensitive to the feeling of clothes, bras, sounds, lights, overstimulation, they will feel that even more deeply at that point. I myself have sought treatment for PMDD, and I was actually really disappointed with what the treatment options are. I'm going to go through what the treatment options are, and I personally don't think they're great, and I'm really hoping that there's more research put into this area. First one is antidepressants. So a lot of people will go on antidepressants because for about 10 days of the month leading up to the period, they can become quite suicidal. they can feel like they want to drive their car into oncoming traffic. They could feel like they want to get an international passport. They want to go to an airport. They're done. They may want to quit their work, move house, light their whole life on fire. They're done. They've just realized that this is unsustainable. They don't understand how they could have not realized in the past, but they have to make changes, and they have to make changes fast and quick. That is a really, really tricky time. That actually happens to me quite frequently, and I really have to hang on for dear life and know that it's not real and take a deep breath and know that I actually have the same family that I had before that I was quite happy with a week ago. And I have to have an understanding that it's hormonal, and I have to remind myself over and over again that it's not actually real. A lot of people choose to take SSRIs in that time. Other people will go on a contraceptive pill, which will regulate the hormones and can alleviate some of the symptoms. And other people decide to do lifestyle changes. So they will do improved diet, exercise. They will do supplements with a naturopath, for example. I don't think any of those three things have really hit the mark for me, but that's just my belief. For me, probably the awareness that I have it and the awareness that it's a difficult thing to manage has been probably the best thing for me, because I would have no understanding of why I would be feeling so down. And I do know when I'm in certain times of the month, I've got my Apple Watch and I do track it. So for example, if I'm having a really awful day, I will open the app and go, right, okay, it's PMS, it's PMDD, you're okay, you're okay. And a lot of people change their lifestyle and they change their setup with their life or their business or their kids around their cycle. So having an awareness that this is going to possibly happen to you every month, maybe you will do things differently at that time. I've started to not interview people during that time, because if I'm doing an episode on a subject that I find really aggravating and someone's describing, for example, being gaslit by a doctor, I find it very difficult to control what I say, and it's very difficult to edit it, because a couple of weeks later when I've calmed down, I'm like, Jane, you probably were too scathing on the medical community or too scathing on that scenario that that person's described. And it's definitely not at the guest. It's generally like I just get so upset and angry at the situation they're describing, and then I just want to just lose my mind at this is what's wrong with the world. And then I get on a rant, and it's sometimes inappropriate because it's a guest that I'm interviewing and it's their story and they don't need me to interject with my rant in the middle of it. So there's no quick fix to PMDD, unfortunately, and it's one of those ones where you kind of know the answer, but you don't want to know the answer. And that is exercise, eating well, not drinking, and looking after yourself, getting rest. And they all play a big role. I have done some naturopathy, and that has helped in terms of supplements. Seeing a naturopath, I think, can be helpful. However, it is expensive and it can be a long process. It can be a lot of testing. So that may not be the right path for everybody. I have found that it's helped me, but I do have some physical health stuff going on as well, which I needed to get treated for. But if you do go to a GP, they will offer you a birth control pill or an antidepressant, and that can be an option for you as well. But I think connecting in with others and talking about how it feels and being open and aware with it is probably a really key thing. And I never want my husband to say to me that, oh, I think you might have PMS, are you going to have your period soon? Because at the wrong moment, that would not result in a good conversation. But maybe when you are feeling calmer, explaining that you may need a little bit more space during those times is probably a good idea. But maybe also laying out the boundary, that's not the time to say, this isn't real, this is your PMS. That's not a good time to do that. But maybe giving some warning around that and being aware of what you're doing in your life and your schedule at that point, I think could be really helpful as well. Thank you for listening. And to the mums out there, I think we all know that we get a rough ride being female. We have the kids, we have the period, we have all of the disadvantages that I think we have as women in the workforce. And in terms of physical safeness and domestic violence. However, we've also got the sense of community that men do not have. They don't get the sense of community like we do. So connecting with other mums, sisters and friends, and I think talk openly about how you feel and seek validation that this is a real thing. It's really hard, but it's something we can get through. And the more we talk about it, the more research will take place and the more emphasis will be on it. And that's where I think things will change. So let's keep talking about it. And I think with enough awareness, the research will start to change and we hopefully will get some better solutions. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode.
The key message here is you are not alone. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, follow us on Instagram or head over and join our amazing ADHD Mums podcast Facebook community. Everything you do matters and helps to spread the word about what neurodiversity in females looks like.